in the 16th chapter, Gospel of John. Brother James, tickled to see your family here. Probably fortunate you've never heard me before, but I don't preach with a coat on. Probably a little orthodox, but I feel constricted and constrained, and just don't preach with a coat on. Amen. John chapter 16. If you found your place, would you stand with me tonight? We'll reverence reading of God's holy word. Chapter 16, I begin reading with verse 7. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." If you'd flip back to chapter 14, one verse to tie into the Scripture. Chapter 14, verse 46, Jesus again speaking says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for a Wednesday evening prayer meeting. We thank you, Lord, for a people who have a desire to come out to your house. And Lord, we just beg of you. Lord, we just plead of you. God, would you fill us and help us, Lord, that we'd be able to preach what you've laid upon our hearts. And Father, that you would illuminate their minds. God, open their hearts that, Father, they'd receive the Word and they'd understand it, Lord. And Father, they'd make application, Lord. And just as you've dealt with me, Lord, these many weeks as I've studied off and on this, I pray, Lord, that if there's one here that's lost, that, Father, you'd speak to that heart through the Holy Ghost. God, you'd show them, Lord, their need for a Savior and salvation. And Lord, that's the only thing that matters when all this is wrapped up and it's all said and done. The only thing we'll take with us when we depart this earthly life is the decision of whether we've accepted or rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, you'd be glorified now. Help your servant. I pray for Brother Darren. God, would you touch the man of God as he's away preaching, Father. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I'll preach a message. I tried to change the title of this message, and the Lord wouldn't allow it. So we're just going to trust the Lord. And I'm just going to preach a message entitled, "The Blessed Holy Ghost." The Blessed Holy Ghost. Seems like a lot of times in our Baptist churches, I'm talking about Baptist churches, you mention that word Holy Ghost, and it scares people. I'm talking Christians, redeemed, saved, born again Christians, mention the word Holy Ghost, and they're scared. I believe the reason that is, quite honestly, is because Christians, I'm talking born-again Christians, they don't recognize the moving and the working of the blessed Holy Ghost of God. And because they don't recognize the moving and His power and what He's trying to do, they're fearful. And so they draw back as a turtle would just shrink up, because they don't understand what He's trying to do and what He's trying to accomplish through the believer and through the church, and how He's trying to reach out to the lost person. The Holy Ghost. Get this out of the way right now. My scripture text was taken out of the King James Version of the Bible. You know, I say, oh no, here you go, preacher. Yeah, here it goes. I don't use the King James Version of the Bible because my mother did, nor do I use it because my grandparents did, nor do I use it because my great-grandma, a dear old saint of God, read out of it. I use it because I've studied it and I've compared it, amen? Now, there's 89 occurrences of the word Holy Ghost in your King James Version of the New Testament. 89 occurrences. I challenge you, get one of the other Bibles. NIV, in the New King James Version, right? The NLT, the ESV, the NASB, the RSV, all those perverted Bibles. Amen, Brother Will? Can I get amen, glory to God? You will find zero occurrences of the word Holy Ghost. None! Stricken, omitted, taken out completely. You say, well, preacher, they just substitute it with something else. It's no big deal. I beg to differ. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. I mean, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Meaning that the author of this blessed book Miss Gina sings about is the blessed Holy Ghost. I'll give you just a little foundation, and this may be scattered. That word holy, it's from the Greek word hagios, and it means sacred, pure, blameless, or the most holy one. That's what it means in the Greek. In that context, the word ghost, get this, it's from the Greek word pneuma, and it means a current of air. Now, if anybody was here Sunday night, I'm going to tell you something. There was a current of air that breezed through this place, amen. Glory to God. I was flat on my face. And I'll tell you, I breezed through there, amen. It means a current of air. Listen to this. Breath. A breath. Or spirit. And that's usually where they get the translation. And so you don't get confused. You know, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, same name. I prefer the Holy Ghost. Because in my Bible, there's 89 occurrences in the New Testament of the Holy Ghost. And that's just my personal preference. Now, try to give you some biblical doctrine, amen, that'll help you. The Holy Ghost is God. He is equal to the Father and He is equal to the Son. Do not speak of Him as an it or as an influence. He is one with God the Father and God the Son, yet distinct from both God the Father and God the Son. He is also referred to again as the Holy Spirit and as the Comforter. He is seen from the beginning actively engaged in the work of creation along with the Father and the Son as recorded in Genesis. In the Old Testament we see that He came upon men to empower them for service, but when they were disobedient, in the book of Judges chapters 13 through 16. We remember that man Samson and his great strength. You all know that story. How the Spirit of the Lord began to come upon him. And after he told Miss Delilah about his hair. And he was a Nazarite and his hair wasn't supposed to be cut. And they come there and they snuck and they cut his hair. And he got up and he thought he'd do just like he'd always done. And the Bible says he wished not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. He didn't even realize it. It had departed from him. I'm afraid that's what's happened in a lot of our Baptist churches. Folks are sitting there and they don't even realize it. Lord, help us. In the New Testament, however, after Pentecost, the Holy Ghost indwells the believer. What a blessing never to leave him or her while filling and empowering them for service. So understanding and recognizing the moving and the working of the Holy Ghost is of the utmost importance to the child of God. It's critical in your Christian life. Look at a couple of things. Number one, the person of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. He's co-equal, He's co-eternal, and He's co-existent with the Father and with the Son. He's omnipresent, meaning He's everywhere in the entire universe at all times. He's omnipotent, means that has all power. I said all power. He's omniscient, meaning He has all knowledge and all understanding. He is eternal. His deity is seen in the life of ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, in the conception of the Lord Jesus in Luke 1:35, you'll find that there. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost for His earthly service and ministry. You'll find that in Acts 10:38. Jesus was led by the Holy Ghost in chapter 4 and verse 1. Jesus was crucified in the power of the Holy Ghost in Hebrews 9:14. And Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Ghost, Romans 8 and verse 11. And Jesus gave commandments to the apostles and to the church through the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 1 and verse 2. And I submit to you tonight, church, if our Lord and Savior needed the Holy Ghost while here on earth, how much more do you and I need the Holy Ghost in our lives? The person of the Holy Ghost. He is a person. Secondly, the purpose of the Holy Ghost. He brings peace with salvation and power for service. He's got a purpose. Meaning to convict, to convince, to tell a thought, or to rebuke. The Holy Ghost convicts people of their sins and of their unbelief. Not only is it the sin side of the factor there, but the Holy Ghost always also convinces and convicts people that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And that the power of Satan has been broken. So, you know, there's that word conviction that a lot of people don't like to hear. They don't like to hear that word conviction. Well, I just don't believe it that way, preacher. Just go tell Jesus on me. I'm going to tell you something. From the authority of the Word of God, you will not get saved without the Holy Ghost. Without Him working and dealing with you, it won't happen. You'll come up here and you'll get something and you'll go back and you'll sit in your pew and you'll live the rest of your day thinking you are, but if there ain't no conviction, you'll die and go to a devil's hell. And I'm preaching it right. I told Brother Clay, that was the worst thing, that's the hardest time I ever went through. 6 months of dealing, thinking I was lost, thinking I was saved, doubting my salvation when I was lost the whole time. I'm 40, how old am I now? 44? 44 years old now. What about this? Let me give you a little scripture. Turn with me to the book of Acts, will you? Just a few pages over there in the book of Acts. I'll give you something to read here. I'll give you some scripture. Chapter 2. Peter is preaching. He's preaching in the power and demonstration the Holy Ghost. See? Glory to God. Whew. That's why there ain't no power. Now you tell me if I ain't telling it right. You tell me if I ain't telling it right. Why they ain't more churches seeing more souls getting saved? Huh? Peter's preaching in verse 37. He says, now when they heard this, what he preached them, Jesus, they were pricked in their heart. They were pricked in their heart. It means they were convicted. Hey, it was revealed to them that they were lost and undone. And the Holy Ghost showed to them through that conviction about Jesus. He shined the light to Jesus.
and showed them what Jesus had done for them. Pricked in the heart. It has to come through the heart. It can't come through a head knowledge. Anybody can have a head knowledge. As a matter of fact, that's the hardest thing you'll ever deal, is trying to get somebody saved that's intellectually way up here and they can't just get down like me and Jason is talking and realize they're lost. Amen. Amen. What about this? Acts chapter 16, just a few over. Acts chapter 16. Oh, know this. Paul and Silas. What about this? In verse 29, listen. Then he called for a light. That's that keeper of the prison. Listen. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down. Trembling. I'll tell you something. Glory to God, I want to tell you something. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When you come to the realization, hey, when He takes you, glory to God, when the Holy Ghost takes you and He hangs you over hell and you see the flames and you realize you're about that close to going, if you don't call back on Jesus, hey, it's the convicting power right there of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God, right then and there, you can get down to business with Him. People don't want to hear about conviction. They don't. And wonder why we don't have power and we don't see more people saved. I'll tell you why. Phew, glory to God. Thank you. Holy Ghost. The blessed Holy Ghost. Come down here and have some program. Amen? Some program. And what Brent was telling me, I mean, you know, you kids, they come down here and you get them down here to the altar. The Holy Ghost draws them. And then some men of God are doing this. I pray God never allow me and you to do this. And you get some youngin' down here that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is drawn down here. And then you pray for them and send them back to their seat. You and I can't do that. No. They have to do that. It's a personal thing. And what about this in chapter 24? Chapter 24. You all know this. In verse 24. And after certain days. Now listen, I'll give you a couple examples. Peter's preached in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Hey, he's fell on those people. They've been convicted. They've been pricked in the heart. Glory to God, they've been a great multitude get saved. Paul and Silas was in that jail. That feller's ready to kill himself. He come out and he said, Bible said he was trembling and he fell down and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Glory to God, he got saved. Amen. And I'm going to show you the other side of the coin. There's always the flip side to the coin. Look with me right here in verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. There's a lot that'll set right here, Sunday morning, Sunday out, Sunday night, services in, Wednesday, it don't make no difference, they'll sit and they'll hear. And as he reasoned, see what he's doing? As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and the Holy Ghost is dealing with him, he's running all those things through his mind. Here it comes. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Let me call time out and say to everyone underneath the sound of my voice, right now is a convenient season. Right now is a convenient season to get saved, to get birthed in the family of God. So it's still your own choice. I showed you there. He always leaves it up to you to make your choice. Now, with accepting Christ as their personal Savior, I'm going to go fast. Stay with me. You ready? Put your seatbelt on. Number one, the blessed Holy Ghost indwells the believer. See, that's what happens. After you come down here, Brother James, I ain't picking on you. You're just a longtime friend of mine. Brother James, come down here. I could use myself too. And when I knelt and the Holy Ghost dealt with me and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart, He saved me. Here's what happens. The blessed Holy Ghost indwells the believer. He indwells the believer. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." He indwells. He comes in and takes up abode inside us, glory to God. Number two, the blessed Holy Ghost seals the believer. Oh, this is good stuff. Ephesians 1:13-14 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Listen, "which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." So not only does He indwell the believer, but He seals the believer. He seals us. Praise God. It's fixed. It's fixed. That other doctrine about losing it, you can't lose it. If you really got it, you can't lose it. It ain't yours to lose. He gave it to me, glory to God. Bless you. Number three, He baptizes the believer. The blessed Holy Ghost baptizes the believer. Acts 1:5 says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." When I got saved, I was baptized. Before a drop of water ever hit my little old head, glory to God, I'd done been baptized with the blessed Holy Ghost. Number four, the blessed Holy Ghost empowers. No, He fills the believer. And here we go, Brother Brent. Listen, Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." And here's where we going. I'm going to drop the plow, and I'm going deep right here. So we've got a lot of Christians sitting on our pews that's indwelt. They're saved, amen. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. And they're sealed. Praise God for that. They've been baptized in the body of believers. Hallelujah for that. But guess what? There's a difference between being indwelt and being filled. Glory to God, there's a big difference. That's some people Sunday night got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I'll just give it to you. The Holy Ghost gives me utterance. That's the only way I know to give it, Brother Dennis. Sometimes, some of you ain't going to like this. Some of you ain't going to like this. I done tell right now, Holy Ghost done spoke to me. Said, "Go ahead, son. It's all right. You got my approval." Sunday morning before I went and preached, I was back there. And I come out and Holy Ghost said, "Sit down right there." I never sit on the back. Y'all know me, I don't sit on the back. He said, "Sit down right there and watch me work, son." And I sat down right there and I began to watch people. Not just the choir, who the Holy Ghost was feeling, but I begin to watch people. Watch them weep and just their countenance changing. And I watch Miss Connie up there. And I watch the Holy Ghost of God begin to fill that woman. Fill her to overflowing. And it just bubbled up and it come out and glory to God, she just had her a time. Yeah. And then there would be some that would say, "I don't know about that preacher. I don't know if that was of God." You better be careful. Let me warn you, you better be careful. That's the work of the blessed Holy Ghost. We don't know the mind of God. And then, Brent come down to the Holy Ghost that filled him. And he testified about little Hunter. And the Holy Ghost took that situation and went over to a little bitty boy named Mason and drew him. And they went back there in the hall. And a few minutes later, I heard Brother Darren taking him a spell. And he'd done saved another. Warn you, church, be careful. Be careful. You say, "Well, I've heard this." And this is true. This is a two-edged sword, Brother Clay. Let all things be done decently and in order. True. I agree with that. I do. I agree with that. I mean, this charismatic crowd or Pentecost or whatever they are, you know, the holiness ones. I ain't throwing off on denominations. I'm using for example. You know, now they've got the label, if you will, about them being full of the Holy Ghost and shouting and running and all this stuff. But you know what? There was a time when Baptists, it didn't matter if it was Southern, Independent, or Missionary, glory to God, free will, the people of God in them churches, they just got filled with the Holy Ghost. And they didn't speak in no tongues. But you know what? When I got saved and the Holy Ghost moved in and dwelt me, Miss Granny, you know what? He did give me power to control my tongue, amen. He'll do that for you. As far as I know, Brother Darren ain't Miss Gina. He ain't never had any problem with nobody taking off and doing anything that it's of God. But I wonder about if somebody falls out. Now, you listen to me. I'm your associate pastor. I am not overstepping my authority or boundary. But if somebody falls out there and they go to wallowing around like some fish out of water and foaming at the mouth and stuff like that, I'm going to be hauling for some of you big fellas to get them out of here. Amen? I don't know about that. Lord of God, the blessed Holy Ghost empowers the believer. Listen to this. Not only does He fill the believer, He empowers the believer. But ye, Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." How does Jason and some of these, Brother David, that go out on Tuesday night, how do they do that? The Holy Ghost empowers them. That's how they do it. If God deals with you to witness or talk to somebody about Jesus, how do you do that? The Holy Ghost empowers you to do that. See, our flesh don't want to do that. Sixthly, the blessed Holy Ghost leads the believer. He leads the believer. Galatians 5:16-18 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." Praise God that we can be led of the Holy Ghost. And I promise you, He'll never lead you into harm's way. He loves you, and He wants to lead you in the good way. Promise you that. Seventhly, and lastly, the blessed Holy Ghost administers spiritual gifts to the believer. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Now listen, at the end of this, "For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." What's He saying, preacher? He's saying that when you got saved and born again and the Holy Ghost come in and indwelt you and He sealed you and He gives you power, amen. Listen, He gives you, He leads you, but not only does He lead you, glory to God, He's going to give you some gifts. You say, "I ain't got no gifts." I beg to differ. Can you pray? Can you read? Can you be faithful? Can you put a smile on your face? Can you encourage somebody? He's give you a gift. And they're all different. They're all diverse. Because we're all individuals. Amen? Now, the promise of the Holy Ghost. Just as Jesus promised, the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. He will remain with the believer, and the church until the church is complete, listen to this, and is presented to the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming. What a promise and what a day that'll be. Listen, just as Jesus Christ finished the work that He comes to do on Calvary by defeating death, hell, and the grave, the Holy Ghost will finish the work He's come to do. I'd like to say tonight on the authority of the Word of God, He's still in the moving business. The blessed Holy Ghost is still in the moving business. But you know what? We need to get reacquainted with Him. Amen? Get reacquainted with Him. Let me ask you something. Show me your hands. How many of you are here Sunday morning or Sunday night? Wow. Okay. What you've seen was a moving and a working of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't nothing on man's part. It was the Holy Ghost of God. He's the only one that can do those things. And God asked you, do you want more power with Him? I do. Glory to God, I do. Do you want more guidance? Are you seeking guidance or direction for your life? Can I submit to you? Can I encourage you? Look to the blessed Holy Ghost. There's your guidance and there's your direction. He won't steer you wrong. Let me ask you this. Do you want to see more people baptized in that pool back yonder than we ain't drained? Well, glory to God, I do. It'll take the Holy Ghost. Say this. There will be no salvation without the Holy Ghost. That's Bible. Jesus said, "Is it expedient that I go away? It's needful that I go away." He had to go away that He might send the Comforter. Glory to God, that word Comforter. Let me go back to our text. Go back with me. I'll be done in just a minute, I promise you. You say, "I've heard that before, preacher." It means profitable. In the Greek, it means profitable or better. He's saying, Jesus is saying, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is profitable for you if I go away." And He says, If I not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. That is the word parakletos, and it means, listen to what Comforter means, glory to God, intercessor, advocate, or counselor. And we thought Jesus was the only one making intercession on our behalf. Well, we know the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost, with groanings that cannot be uttered, when I don't even know how to pray, carries my little old feeble prayer up there to the throne. Glory to God, Brother Will. Here's what happens in a nutshell. The Holy Ghost, He speaks to a person. He comes and He reproves the world of sin. That means He shows them. He shows them their loss and their need for a Savior. Okay? That's what He does. That's the first thing He does. To a lost person, that's the first thing He does. And He shows them their sin because we have to realize that we're all sinners in need of a Savior, and we have to get lost before we can get found. I'm like Brother Darren. I'm just like Brother Darren. I stay up here and say, "I know beyond a shadow of a doubt." And you say, "I don't know about that." Glory to God! I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved tonight on my way to glory. And it was all through Him. So, He shows them first about their sin. Then He shows them of the righteousness. You say, "Well, how does that righteousness come in?" Well, the Bible says, all my righteousness is a filthy rags. So He shows me that my righteousness is nothing but tattered, filthy rags. And at that point, I realize that I'm a sinner, that there's nothing good about me. I'm just completely broken, amen. But, glory to God, then He says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He's saying, the prince of this world, who is Satan, He's saying, "Boys, it's done fixed. The battle's done over. I've done defeated Him with that cross. I've done raised from the dead. Glory to God, it's over and finished if you just accept me as your Savior." Make it harder than it has to be. The salvation thing, we really make it harder than it has to be. What happens is we get older with years. And I'm telling you right. But James, I've been there. Brother, I'm preaching about me. Amen, honey? And what happens is you get older. And you get comfortable. And you just get to going through the motions. And you know, every once in a while you may doubt or something. But you know what? Rather than just listen or heed to the blessed Holy Ghost of God, Well, maybe we'll call for them in a convenient time. And that convenient time may not come. And so, let me ask you this. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." Do you know He's easily offended and easily grieved? I got up here really, really early this evening. God began to deal my heart. I went up here and prayed over that baptistry. I come down here and laid on my face. I was just minding the Holy Ghost. And He said, "Don't you go pray at every one of these doors. Every single door in this church, I want you to pray over it." That sounds silly, don't it? See, we don't know the mind of the Holy Ghost. It's just God. And I told Brother Clay, I prayed at that one first. I came over here, and I began to pray. And I was praying. Here was what my prayer was. Quite simple prayer. I was praying, "Lord, You know who's going to come across each one of these thresholds. You know exactly who's going to be here. You know exactly what door they're going to come through. And Lord, if they're lost, would You allow the blessed Holy Ghost to greet them? Just greet them as they come through the door and welcome them in." And then I begin to pray, "Lord, would You bind Satan and the demons of hell and all the powers and the principalities of darkness and the spiritual wickedness in high places? God, would You just keep them at bay for just a little space of grace?" And I said, "In Jesus' name, amen." And I got up, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, "You need to make sure you go back there in that educational building and you get both those doors at the top of those stairwells. And that's not an entryway." And as I was walking back through there, the thought hit me. Ain't that just like Satan? Try to slip in the back. That's what he'll try to do. That's what he'll try to do. He'll try to just slip right in. He'll just weasel right in there. You know, the Holy Ghost will be dealing with somebody. He'll be showing somebody something and just squeezing real tenderly and lovingly on their heart. But they'll try to just squeeze right in there. That's what he does. And I said, "Lord, I ain't got faith in nothing. I ain't got faith in nothing. I don't. I'm just being brutally honest with you." I said, "But Lord, if somebody here lost, would You save them? I know it's Wednesday night. I know this is the faithful crowd. I know chances are probably, I don't know, everybody's saved. But if there's just one, Lord, would You save them? God, would You save them?" The last time the Holy Ghost is mentioned is in the book of Jude. In the 20th verse, and it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." See, there's a difference. There's a difference between just praying and praying being filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a great difference in that prayer. So a preacher reckon, "Well, that's the last time." He's gone. When he finishes his work, and Jesus steps out on the cloud, and He says, "Come up hither." Pew. I did not say the Spirit of God would not be here, but the Holy Ghost and the age of grace will be over. Yes, it will. And I got Scripture to back that up to show you when the Bible says when He is taken out of here. And that's the Holy Ghost of God. Now you think about that, church. When the Holy Ghost departs out of this place, and for those that's left behind, what about this? Matthew chapter 12. Listen to this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "He that is not with Me is against Me." Do you see that? If you're not with Him tonight, huh? If you're not with Him by His own testimony, the Lord Jesus Christ says you are against Him. "And he that gathereth not with Me scattereth abroad." Listen. "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy
shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Do not believe a saved person can blaspheme the Holy Ghost. I don't believe that can happen. If you can blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you're lost. You're in danger. Now, Holy Ghost just said time out right there. Here's what you're going to have. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. I've got a lot of study tools. Okay? I've got a lot of study tools. A lot of commentary. A lot of scholars and theologians that give me their opinions on things. But I'm going to tell you something. That's all it is. It's man's interpretation of what they believe the Scripture's saying. Now, I'm of the mindset, with just a little bit of common sense, Brother Brent, that I'll just take the Word of God for what the Word of God said, seeing it's the Son of God that's speaking it. And the Bible says, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. That's pretty plain. That's why I warned you. God told me that. You better be careful out there. Somebody stands up and testifies, or somebody takes off running, or somebody takes a shouting fit, or somebody does something, and it just don't line up with what you think it ought to be. Glory to God, you be careful. Sit there with indignation in our hearts. And it's the working of the blessed Holy Ghost of God. Be careful. And I warn you with as much love right there as I can. The Bible says either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt. Now listen to this. And his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. No, we don't know nobody else's soul. And they some pretty good actors out there, I know that. I'm going to tell you something. You can tell, usually, the Holy Ghost to bear witness with somebody else, amen? If they really got it, and if they're bearing fruit, amen, for the Master. Sins against the Holy Ghost. What does that mean, preacher? Are you trying to scare me? No, I'm not trying to scare you. Y'all know me better than that. I'll tell you tonight, if the Holy Ghost of God comes to one of y'all and speaks to you about anything, y'all to mind Him. Y'all just mind Him. Just throw up the white flag of surrender and mind Him. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed. God give me that verse. I believe because that's the way it happens to me. See, I got this hope. A hope that's sure and steadfast. And it's a hope that the world don't understand. And the Holy Ghost begins to fill me up from inside out. And it just wells up. And I'm just not ashamed. And I know these people probably Sunday in and Sunday out that sees this little old preacher get up and amen the preacher and get up with his Bible or get up and holler or do whatever I do. Snot and crying and all these things. Amen. Under God, that you should get filled up every once in a while to where you just couldn't control it. Amen, Brother Clay? And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. He gives us that. The Holy Ghost of God gives us that. I'm afraid today, what happens is we know we've got a Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. And we know we've got the Blessed Redeemer, the sinless Son of God who went and died for us on Calvary. Yea, was risen again. But somewhere, somehow, the Blessed Holy Ghost gets lost in the picture. Can I ask you, sir, ma'am, you want more power with God? Throw up to the Holy Ghost. How about this? This might help somebody. There was an argument between a Christian and this non-Christian doctor.
And the doctor said that there was no soul. Said there's no soul. And he asked, he said, did you ever see a soul? And the Christian said, no. And he said, did you ever hear a soul? And the Christian said, no. And he said, did you ever smell a soul? The Christian said, no. He said, well, did you ever even taste a soul? The Christian said, no. The doctor said, well, did you ever feel a soul? The Christian said, yes, sir. He said, I feel I've got one within me. Well, said the doctor, there's four senses against one. You've only got one on your side. Very well, said the Christian. Let me ask you a question, Doc. Did you ever see pain? A pain? No, the doctor said. Did you ever hear a pain? No, the doctor said. Did you ever smell a pain? No, again was the doctor's reply. Well, did you ever taste a pain? No. Well, Doc, did you ever feel a pain? Well, yes, I did. Well, would you say that that was quite enough then? Did you prove that there's a pain? The doctor said, yes. So the world would say that there's no Holy Ghost. That's what the world would say. Why? Because the world cannot see Him, but we see Him. The world says that they can't feel Him, but we feel Him. Amen? See, the Holy Ghost, we can feel Him. Glory to God. We know He's ever present. Amen. Think about this. I wrote this down. What about the wind? Who here don't believe there's a wind? Huh? Surely you'd agree with me there's a wind. What about electricity? I mean, we just go plug something in and, you know, it's going to work, right? I don't actually see the current going through that cord to whatever I've got plugged in, but it works. You following me there? Getting plugged into that? You got to believe, church, that there is a blessed Holy Ghost, that He's working in us. And He's working in us to do will. Hey, even though beyond it's our senses sometimes, He's working out a will in our lives if we allow Him to. We have to allow Him to. So the reason that men in the world laughs when we say the Holy Ghost is because they don't know Him. It's because they've never had a heartfelt experience with Him. And they've never recognized His working in their soul. They've never been touched by Him. And they've never been made to tremble under conviction of sin. Because if they'd had their hearts touched and melted by the Holy Ghost, they'd never doubted the existence of the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen? So let me ask you a question. Tonight, now this is to the believer, is the Holy Ghost just a resident or is He the feeling presence in your life? A resident means to dwell permanently or continually. Praise God, if you're saved. Praise God, He dwells permanently and continually. And that won't change. But a presence means to become manifest. That only happens when He feels you. So, is He a resident tonight? Or is He the feeling presence? When I say, if He's taking up residence, it's time that you allow Him to be the feeling presence in your life. Amen. Brother Britt Duncan, with little Hunter, the Holy Ghost. Now listen to this. If y'all don't know this story, I promise I'll be very quick. The Holy Ghost of God took little Hunter, convicted him, saved him, brought him to church the next morning, worked through little Hunter, Mason was saved. The Holy Ghost, not being grieved, continuing to work and to stir and to move, saved another one. Amen? Darren says, we unhooked. Little did we know when we hooked back together, the Holy Ghost, through little Hunter again, amen, had worked and saved another one. Amen? Then we come back here, and there was two more saved through the working of the Holy Ghost. Now, went to revival last night. Like Miss Gina testified, third song the choir sung, little Luke piles out, falls in the altar, and gets saved. Glory to God. You know what he told us on the way home? Miss Gina was talking to him. Had been working on him. Been thinking about Hunter. Then, the pastor of that revival, that church, the Lackey Town Missionary Baptist Church, his 11-year-old daughter, the Holy Ghost moved on her, and she got saved. And if that wasn't enough, because he went a little further, there was a 14 or 15-year-old girl that come and got saved. Then, because Brother Brent, and I ain't lifting Brent up, but because he was obedient and just stopped to encourage somebody, there was a woman, how old was she, Brother Brent? In her 40s or 50s? Glory to God, she got saved. At work! And you heard Miss Gina testify about that coin that wasn't there when they went to bed, but it was when they got up. I just believe it. And Brother Darren was sharing last night as he was preaching to those folks. He was sharing with them about the lost coins. They knew nothing about lost coins. And he was sharing with them. And when he gave an invitation, I fell on my face right there. And I said, "Oh God." I said, "Lord, would you put a lost coin in my path and give me the faith to believe that it represents a lost soul that you're going to save?" I said, "Lord, would you do that?" Got to work this morning and went back to one of them break rooms, and I was looking. Brother John. I was looking. I didn't find one. So I went to the other break room. Nothing. So, "Lord, you're going to give me a coin somewhere." Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, "Get on your knees." Get on my knees. So look up under that vending machine. All the way, Brother Bobby, back in the corner. Dusty, spider webs, filthy, nasty. Was a nickel. I crawled up under there, got that thing out, and still on my knees, and just began to pray over that nickel. God said, the Lord spoke to me and said, "I want you to get that nickel, and I want you to put it in your boot. I want you to walk all over, drive all over, and everywhere you go, I want you to walk around with that nickel in your boot. And every time it feels uncomfortable, and every time it slides around, I want you to say, 'Lord, save them, Lord, save them, Lord, save them.'" It's untelling. Only the Lord knows how many times I said, "Lord, save them." Well, come up here early this evening. Spread that nickel out. Prayed over it again. Lord said, "Don't you preach with that nickel in your shoe. It ain't been out of my shoe, amen." I said, "Lord, there's things all over the place. I'm liable to fall." He said, "Who do you trust in when you preach?" "I'm trusting you, Lord." He said, "You leave that nickel right there in your shoe. At the end of the service, you take that nickel out." He said, "You show them. Glory to God. That nickel." And I said, "So I'm going to ask you something. See, I prayed specifically. I prayed specifically to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost that tonight, on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, as unusual as it might be, that the Holy Ghost would speak to somebody here at the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. Not at Lackey Town, Miss Gina. Not at Lily Branch. Not at Fletcher First Baptist. Glory to God, at the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. I prayed over this, and this is somebody's nickel. And I don't know who you are, but this is your nickel. And God said He loves you, and this is your time. This is your convenience season. And if you'll just take the first step towards Him, He'll carry you the rest of the way. And I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, it'll be the best decision you ever made in your entire life. It's nickels for somebody. You stand your feet. I'm done.
And if the Holy Ghost, listen, I can't draw you. If I could, I'd come back here. If I knew who you was, I'd get you and I'd love on you and I'd bring you down here. I'd even carry you if I could. But I can't. I can't do it. I'll ask you tonight one simple question. Are you saved? Do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that goodness forbid something happened tonight? Miss Michelle Smith left here after a dinner at Easter, having no idea, on her way home, and come up there across the hill where Biggerstaff was, and had a tremendous wreck. And praise God, they're safe. You say, that'll never happen to me, preacher. I just want you to examine your heart.